you would have to drag me away from Wichita because it is just a great, easy place to live with great people. And, you know, I have two young kids now. Mm-hmm. And so it's I cannot imagine a place where my kids would have a better quality of life.
The arts is like medicine, and we're able to take people away from their existence for 2 hours when they come see a show. And I love being a part of the community in that way, where we're able to entertain, but also serve them in a way that they didn't probably expect when they walked in to see a show.
I'm just a boy from Kansas.
Mama said to run with the law,
but I'm from Wichita.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wichita Life Podcast. My name's Landon. Today's guests are Brian Markham and Angela Cassette. Brian is the artistic director and Angela is the managing director for Music Theater Wichita. Music Theater Wichita puts on 5 big shows a year with a budget of over $5 million. The scale of their production is hard to understate, and they do an incredible job. We talk all about their backgrounds and the exciting upcoming slate of shows this year. Get your tickets today and enjoy my conversation with Brian and Angela.
All right, I'm here with Brian and Angela. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I'm so glad to have you guys. They're from Music Theater Wichita, so we'll dive in deep to that. I want to talk about both of your journeys individually and then just the kind of the production as a whole. Just a little bit of background. I have not been to a show yet. I will be going to a show this year. But I did take a tour last year with Marco, and I did not realize like how big of a production it was, like how many people were involved, like you're making the whole sets. Like I was just blown away. So I'm just really excited to dive in more.
Yeah, we do quite a lot down in that basement of Century 2.
It's crazy.
It's a big ordeal with bringing lots and lots of people to town to put on these big Broadway-style musicals.
Absolutely. So I guess, Brian, we can start with you. Let's go a little bit in your background. Who are you? What are you doing now? And what brought you to Wichita? What's your background?
Well, I'm the artistic director of Music Theater Wichita, and I actually got started here in 1994. I was a resident ensemble member when I was a student at Oklahoma City University, and I came back in 1995 for another season, and I learned, I think the first season I was here for 5 shows, and the second season I was here for only 4, and it was really like a education in musical theater that I had never gotten before, even in being in a university for musical theater. And then I moved to New York and I worked quite a lot. I was in 6 Broadway shows there. I was the associate choreographer of a Broadway show, Elf the Musical. And then while I was there, Wayne would always come. Wayne, who I replaced as the artistic director, Wayne Bryan, who was here for 34 years and did a lot of amazing things, would come and see me in shows. And we had a pretty great relationship then. And then I left New York and moved to Oklahoma City to start being a professor at my alma mater in the dance department at OCU. And Wayne would come down and still hold auditions just like he did when I was a student. And he invited me to come up in 2015, I think, to choreograph Hello Dolly. Mm. And they hadn't done Hello Dolly since I was in it 20 years beforehand.
Oh, wow.
So I came up and did that. And then every year after that, I was back as a director or a choreographer of a musical. And he thought as he was looking to retire, he asked me if it would be something that I would be interested in. And I was like, what are you, who, me? After, you know, 50 years of this organization being around. And then the pandemic hit and we had been talking and I said, do you still want me to come? And he was like, well, I'm still retiring. So it was really like a moment of, and I told him this too, when he brought it up and, you know, it was happening. And I said, it's like the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when he hands the keys to the Chocolate Factory and he shoots them through the roof in that glass elevator. I was like, wow, it was kind of an amazing moment.
That's incredible.
But that's how. And then we moved here and from I was actually when we left New York, I was in academia for like 11 years at OCU and then 4 years at Syracuse University. And so we moved here from Syracuse.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit of back and forth between the Midwest and New York.
Yeah. Yeah. And we love Wichita. Love it.
Good. Good to hear.
Since 2020. It's great.
Yeah, for sure. Performing and I guess kind of a lifelong performing arts. Was that something like growing up? Is that something you always knew you would do? Like,
I didn't know. I mean, I grew up in a very small town in Tennessee where there was football and farming, and I probably was the only boy tap dancing at seven in the entire state. And then that's not true. There were some more boys in my, but by the time I got to high school, they had all quit.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really know that I wanted to do this. I performed in local theater, like community theater things, and sung in church and did all that stuff. But, and I was, I guess, I liked the attention. And I was kind of a, as you can imagine, the weird child in my small little town in Tennessee. And then I had some friends who had gone on to dance at this university in Oklahoma that I didn't know much about. And so I went there and auditioned, and they let me in. And then when I got there, I learned, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And so over the 4 years I was at OCU, I really learned and worked really, really hard to do this. And and it worked out okay.
That's amazing. Yeah. Awesome. Angela, hopping over to you. What's your background? What brought you to Wichita?
Yeah, I was a violinist, and that is what I got my degrees in. So cool. I got my undergrad and my master's degree in violin performance. And when I was getting my master's degree, I met my husband, who's a trumpet player. And when we were getting married, I was like, someone needs a job. And I had always been a pretty administrative person. And so I got a job working for the Omaha Symphony. Mm. And from day one, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, I just loved being behind the scenes and making things happen. And it just really fit, my strengths and what I wanted to do. So we hopped around a little bit, and then my husband David got a job teaching trumpet at Wichita State. And before he applied for the job, I was like Googling, does Wichita have a Target? Because like I didn't know anything sure, about Kansas. Sure. And so we moved here, and when I was looking for a job here, I found Music Theater Wichita. Had always been a lover of musicals. I can't sing, dance, or act, but man, did I devour those playbills when I went to see musicals when I was in high school. And I just really loved the art form and loved this organization. So we moved in 2013, and I started as director of development, which meant I was doing fundraising, which is still a big part of my job. But now I'm the managing director and just have some increased responsibilities. So, yeah, so I've been here 10 years, almost 11 years. It's flown by.
Yeah, for sure. Was there any, I mean, you spent a lot of time in New York and you spent some time in Omaha. So Omaha's fairly similar, a little bit bigger than us. Was there any like culture shock coming to Wichita, or did you immediately love it? And it's, I mean, just since you've been here, it's changed so much, but...
Yeah, we moved to Wichita from St. Pete, Florida. So big change. It is such a livable community. Like we kind of came in, a lot of people come in, especially to the university, with a 2-year plan. They're like, I'm going to be here for 2 years and then I'm going on. But I have said to so many people, like, you would have to drag me away from Wichita because it is just a great, easy place to live. With great people. And, you know, I have 2 young kids now. Mm-hmm. And so I cannot imagine a place where my kids would have a better quality of life. Yeah. So that's a big deal.
No, I love that.
Yeah. And the same for me. I ditto exactly what she said. We love the quality of life here. I have 2 kids as well, a high schooler and a elementary school kid. And they love it. And I think also because the culture of music theater had been cultivated so well, and there's such a love for it here. We came into a community that was already so lovely. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a huge culture shock. We moved from Syracuse, New York, as opposed to moving from the city.
Sure.
And Syracuse was the snowiest and most overcast place in the world. And Wayne sold me on this, saying, though, there's 360 days of sun here. And I was like, we're done. We're moving. Yeah. It was great. We love it.
That's awesome. So we're here to talk about Music Theater Wichita. So just touch on kind of what that is a little bit. And then I also want to point out the differences, because for somebody that's not in the arts community, I mean, I run Wichita Live, so I'm like relatively in the know, but like I had to kind of do some learning, like the difference between Music Theater Wichita or like Children's Theater or Broadway Wichita Theater, and like what the differences are, because there's a lot of shows and there's a lot of organizations, which is awesome, but it can be a little bit confusing who's doing what. So can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I would just start by saying, you know, we're a really large organization where our budget size is about $5.5 million a year, and we produce these really large scale shows, and we bring in a lot of people during the summer. We bring in actors, both who are sort of pre-Broadway. They're like, they're going. They're going to be there in 3 years.
Yeah.
To be our ensemble. And then we bring in Broadway professionals. We bring in a lot of professional choreographers and directors. And after spending a while in Wichita, I realized, like, Wichita is a really fantastic, lively arts community. And some of our larger arts organizations, like ours, what we do is help set up the structure of, like, there are lots of arts that can flourish when our sort of big institutions are doing really well. It just enables this ecosystem where we can really make it possible for a lot of artists and instructors and designers and actors and all these people to make a living in Wichita and make Wichita their home. It used to be, pre-pandemic, it was very simple. If you were seeing a show at Century 2 in the summer, it was us. If you were seeing it any other time, it was a traveling show. But that has become, there's just been a lot. We've had to go with the flow a lot. Yeah. All of our organizations have for the past several years. But we still, our primary thing that people see is our summer season. And there's a lot of other theater going on around town, too, yeah. And a lot of instruction. And since Brian has arrived, we've also really, there's almost an, like, insatiable need for additional education programming and really good quality programming for kids. Mm-hmm. Wichita had a lot of that already, and we have really just seen so many students and families participate in those education programs. And I mean, sky's the limit. We're going to keep growing those. But that's a little bit. Maybe Brian can add some more.
Yeah. I mean, we, like Angela said, the five big shows that we do in the summer are our main organizational model, right?
Yeah.
And we, like she said, we bring people in from New York for the leads and for the resident ensemble, which is how I got started here. We have these kids from all around the country that come. And the same thing for our artisans downstairs who are building all the sets and the costumes. They're from different programs around the country as well. But I just finished the tour for this year's casting, and we saw 930 people for all these slots that we have. And we have about maybe 45 people that we're looking for the entire season.
Yeah.
But, you know, because of the years of us doing this over 50 years, the reputation in New York City specifically, and all of these colleges with these programs, is that we're a great place to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, occasionally someone will get us confused with the Broadway series. But like Angela said, we're here in the summer and we do those five big shows and we build everything here. Whereas the Broadway series, that show comes in for a day or two or maybe a week, but then that same group gets up and goes to the next city.
Sure.
And I toured with a few shows in my career, and so which is a great thing. But what we do is bring everybody here, and we build and we learn and we teach and we do all of that in a 3 weeks series each for five times in the summer to learn these shows. And we do it in 3 weeks and we put it together and then we move on to the next one.
Yeah, I took a tour. I don't know if I mentioned it yet, but I took a tour with Marco, and it was wild to see. Yeah, building the. I think it was for Cats is the one I saw, and so the roller coaster or whatever it was, I'm like, this is gigantic. I didn't even know this was there was space to do this, let alone there's just people that are on staff that are doing this. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's great. It's a big machine, and it takes right now we're doing Frozen. It's our third show, and we've already started building the sets, but with some limited labor. But once our shops get open in the early May, then we go full tilt with all five shows, building all the sets and all the costumes. And we really fill up the downstairs. People may not know there's a basement to Century 2. And that's where for, 50 years, we've built sets and costumes and all of that stuff. And it's a big machine.
I also don't know how you guys do that in like 3 weeks. Like I would get, I don't know, one as like an actor. I'm not an actor whatsoever, but it's like, that seems like almost overwhelming, like to try to remember everything. And
it's a lot for them. And it's funny because the college kids, they're so used to, in their programs, they learn so quickly and their brains are so fresh and they can come in and they can learn something. I can show it to them once and they can do it. And then they go away and they all live together. And so they rehearse it over things at night. And then they come back the next day and they know it better than they did. And these kids are really, they are when we see that many, we get the cream of the crop. I mean, they really do all want to come and work here. And so they're so good and they're so nice and they're so talented. And, you can't go to New York or see a show that comes through here that doesn't have someone who has been here and started their training at Music Theater Wichita, and which is so lovely. But they learn so quickly. Sometimes the adults, the New York people who get 6 weeks or longer into New York to learn a show, they have a little bit more. It's a harder for them to come in. So if they've been with us before, they come back the second time and they're like, oh, I'm off book already. Yeah. They get off the plane and they know what they're going to say. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Okay. So you mentioned college kids. So like how many positions are like permanent positions, like your positions, like director positions versus like, are many of the actors or any of them permanent Wichita? And like, are most of the main actor or actress positions, you're hiring those out? Mm-hmm. So can you just talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, most of the directors and choreographers are hired and brought in. And then most of the Actors Equity, they're the union folks that play our leads. They're all from New York. Okay. And then the resident ensemble. We have a few local people from closer around here in the resident ensemble. And then we also have some character actors that we use that are local here. Mm. So it's a nice mix of some local folks, some college kids from musical theater programs around the country, and then Actors Equity leads from New York City.
Okay.
But like, for instance, Tim and Karen Robb, who are local actors here, and actually Karen and I were in the resident ensemble together here in 1994, and she and her husband met doing shows at Music Theater Wichita, and they live here and they have careers outside of theater.
Sure.
But every year, I think Tim has been in a show every year since at least 1994.
Wow.
And then Karen is going to be Mama Rose in Gypsy. So she's the star of the show, and she's the local actress here.
That's amazing. That's really cool. So you mentioned you saw over 900 people audition. Like, what specifically are you looking forward to? You've been in the industry a while. Like, do you just have an eye that's fine tuned? You're like, I like this. There's a spark. Or like, what are you looking for there?
Well, because we do big shows that everyone has. We don't do shows where people just stand and sing. And there's not shows anymore where you just can be a dancer. You have to be able to do all of it. So first of all, they come in and they sing for me. And I talk to them because, we need 23, 24 people to be here for the summer. And they all have to get along because if there's one person that can't.
Sure.
One person can upset the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I talk to them and get a sense of like what they're like. And then they sing and they're like, oh, they're really good. And I take notes about them. And then I put them all through a dance call. And this year we did two. Sometimes we do three combinations. And sometimes I make a cut and sometimes I don't. And then you just can tell like there's a spark there or they're ready or they're not quite ready and they'll come back next year. And for instance, there's a girl who's been auditioning for us for many years, who's coming this year, and she's fantastic. But for some reason, she wasn't booking. And then all of a sudden she walked in this year and I was like, oh my God, she figured it out.
Yeah,
and she's so
awesome.
Good. And you just see them over the years because you just check in with them for 30 minutes a year. Right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's it. And, It's kind of great to see that. But you can see like how they kind of line up. And
are you able to like give them feedback then so they know what to work on for the next year? Or is it they just kind of figure it out?
I think they just kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
Cool. We don't have a lot of time with them.
Yeah. With 900 people, you'd be there for a while if you're spending that much time with every single person.
It seems like the stakes in the rehearsal room, they just improve every year. Like even in the 10 years I've been here, I feel like dancers used to get asked like, okay, can you do the splits? Can you tumble? And now it's like, I'll go down to the rehearsal room and they'll be like, we're doing the splits here. We're tumbling here. And just everybody has to do it. It's just like the skill level gets higher and
higher. It's so true. And they learn, but I think it's because of, I always said it was the dawn of Wicked in whenever in 20 when that opened in 2000 and whenever that was 2003, and that combined with American Idol and So You Could Think You Can Dance made everyone think they could do it or want to do it, and so then these programs started taking all of these people in, and they've trained, and they have YouTube, and they have all of these things where they can learn so much younger than they did when I was, where you just had to go to dance school or take voice lessons from where you were, wherever you lived. And now you can get, they have access to so much stuff that they're so good already. I saw it when I was in academia, and we would have all these kids who wanted to audition to get into college. And you're like, they're already so good.
Sure.
And now there's just so many of them. Like I said, 930 of them we saw, and there's so many good people. I'd love to be able to hire all of them, but you can't. I mean,
this is a complete like left field comparison that you might not have heard before, but it's like, I watch a little bit of like UFC, but it's like martial arts. Like the first one 30 years ago, it was like Taekwondo versus judo.
Yeah.
But now it's like everybody knows everything. Like they're starting as kids, kind of similar thing. Like they're doing it from when they're little, all of everything, jiu-jitsu and boxing or whatever else.
Right.
It's interesting to kind of stack skills like that.
Yeah.
And then another kind of sports analogy. I have some friends that coach college football, but you mentioned like the network and you can't go to a Broadway show without seeing somebody that was Music Theater Wichita. My friends that coach football, they're like, they coached with this coach at Mississippi State, and then like they go somewhere else, but like an assistant or a player or something, and it's that they all know each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool that like it's cross industries. It's like that.
The community. Really cool. Yeah. The community is pretty remarkable.
And we were just talking about you before we were on camera, how you were in New York, and like there's a certain kind of several blocks. It's like the performing arts blocks. And it's like you're almost famous there because like you run into so many people that you know, which I've never been to New York City, but like I would not expect to recognize anybody. Like I might run across somebody, but there's so many people.
Right. It's the biggest, smallest town, especially between 41st Street and 54th Street, between Broadway and 8th Avenue. That's the office building of Broadway performers. And so you just are walking those streets along with everyone else. And so unless you just see all the people that you know from the community.
Right. Right. So it's absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So I want to make sure we talk about this season. So talk a little bit about what shows are coming up and then when are tickets on sale. This will probably be out next week. So they're probably on sale when people are listening to this, but just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
What you really want to do is buy a season ticket. And a season ticket, it means that you get all five shows. Those prices start so low. Our lowest season ticket price is $144. So, You can't get one ticket to a single Broadway show for that price. It's just so, you get so much entertainment, and we try to be really flexible. Like our subscribers, if they choose to come on Saturdays, for example, but there's one Saturday where they're out of town, they have other plans, they can exchange their tickets. There are no fees. Like we make it really easy. But that is the way that you get to see sometimes the thing that you think you're going to like the most is not actually the thing you're going to like the most. And so that's why we always think that, like, you know, subscriptions are the way to go. There's hundreds of people every year that they're like, I wasn't looking forward to this one as much, but it's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Right. So we think that's like really the best experience for people. This year it is really an astonishing season. I think every show has something for everyone. I mean, it's just a really great season. We sort of asked Brian to put together something that would be like blockbuster because we're just really, you know, that long tail of less people doing things that is sort of a pandemic hangover we're still working out of. So we asked him to put together something really spectacular and he did it. So
yeah, the season is really great and kind of eclectic. We've kind of hashtagged it the Year of the Woman because all the shows are around female leads.
Sure.
And so the first show is Gypsy, and it's about Mama Rose, who's a stage mother, but the daughter, and it's based on real people, and the daughter became the stripper Gypsy Rose Lee, who is famous, and she actually had her very first strip of all at the Orpheum here in Wichita.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, what are they up
to? Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And so that's our first show, and like I said, it's being Karen Robb, who's local, is playing Mama Rose, and she's fantastic. And then that show's followed by 9 to 5, which is the Dolly Parton musical based on the movie from the 80s, which is a great, fun musical about misogyny. and then that show is followed by Frozen, Disney's Frozen. We're one of the first companies in the country to get to do it regionally. It's still out on tour. It closed in New York about a year ago, and we are designing a new set and costumes that have all been designed and approved by Disney, and now we're starting to build them. A local set designer named Michael Downs is doing the set, and it's really spectacular. Yeah. We're having puppets made for Olaf and Sven in Kansas City, and I just went to see the prototypes. They're so much fun. I mean, it's like the best playground of all.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's running for 2 weeks because we think it'll sell.
Yeah.
And then we do Matilda, which is based on the Roald Dahl book.
Yeah.
And it's about a little girl who finds all of her powers. And she has nine little friends. And they're all Kansas kids. And these kids, like we talk about how they are so good already. And they're from 9 to 13. And they're spectacular.
That's cool.
And so, and plus there's the resident ensemble in that show too. And there's the mean Miss Trunchbull. And then the last show is beautiful, the Carole King musical, and it is a biography about Carole King and what it was like for her in the 1950s and 60s being a female songwriter. And people, I think, know her music, but I think there's a lot of songs that are in the show that the people don't know that she had a hand in creating. And it's just a really well-crafted jukebox musical that's also a kind of a biopic about her.
Sure.
And like I say, I just finished the audition, and the people coming in for those leads, Elsa, Anna, Carol, and Cynthia Weil, and all of the leads are just incredible. They're all broad. They all have multiple Broadway credits, and they all are excited to come to Kansas and be a part of our season.
That's so cool.
It's cool.
I've got a lot of thoughts. So the leads, are any of them the leads for multiple shows, or then are they in the ensemble for the other shows? How does that work?
Most of the leads are just for one show.
And then they'll leave?
And they leave.
Okay,
so they come
you.
In.
Okay,
they come in for 3 weeks and perform the show, and then they go away. We have a few roles in the show. Like there's a role in Matilda named Miss Honey, who's the sweet teacher who kind of like saves Matilda a little bit. And she is a resident ensemble member. And she is moving up for that show into a lead role. There's like the two trolls in Frozen, mm-hmm. and they are ensemble members.
Cool.
The Oaken in Frozen is an ensemble member. So some of those, they have a chance to step up to some of the lead roles. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool. Yeah. One question I had earlier that I forgot to ask. When you're casting, you said Music Theater, which now has a very good reputation in New York and stuff. Yeah. Like if you offer somebody, is it very often that they turn that down, or is that normally like one of their first choices then?
No. Yeah. I've had no one turn me down.
That's amazing. That's
and
really cool.
I think now that I can say that I've been here for 2020. I don't think I've had to go to my second choice for anything.
That's amazing. That's good track record so far. That's
awesome. Everyone wants to, first of all, actors just want to work.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to work. So
very cool.
They love to come here.
I love that. And then just kind of looking at the five different productions, I think it is really cool. Like there's very diverse, but there's that common theme of kind of the female lead and everything like that. I have two daughters and then a son. But I think looking at my kids, my oldest, Nori, she's 4, and she kind of likes shooting the basketball. My middle child definitely likes shooting the basketball, but it's like she's going to be the musical one. So I'm like, we're definitely going to take them to Frozen. They're obsessed. We just went to Disney on Ice, and they were on, and Elsa had the dresses and everything.
Sure,
I think we plant that seed early. You might have somebody in a few years. So
She
loves to sing and dance and perform.
And we have lots of camps that are happening through the summer too for kids your age. And also there's a camp that where some of them will be in Frozen and also, be performing before Frozen.
Sure.
We have lots of education things that are, like Angela said, because I came from education, it's a huge part of my life. And so we wanted to start some good education initiatives, which we've done. And we have the Rising Stars Youth Ensemble, which is a bunch of high school kids who get to sing prior to the show and do like introductions. And so that's kind of cool too.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun programs around education.
One of the things I love about this summer season is there's so many opportunities for multiple generations to attend together. Frozen, obviously, we're going to have a couple matinees where kids as young as 3 can come. Normally, you need to be 5 to come to a show. But we really want those little princesses.
Yeah.
And last year, we did Disney's Beauty and the Beast. And what I thought was so interesting is sometimes we have people that are not coming with a little person, that they're like, I don't know, it's a Disney show, it's a kid show. And those are the people that leave. They're just like, everybody needs some of that Disney magic, right? Like, it is pure magic. And it's fun to be in the audience and see the kids around you and just the wonder. I mean, it's really incredible. But I think a lot of our shows are that way. Like, Matilda is definitely a multi-generational show. 9 to 5 is something that, like, teen girls, absolutely. Like, it's a great, like, all of these, everything is either PG or PG-13. We tend to break down, like, why, you know, if people have sensitivities about certain material, like why, what they might want to watch out for. But we have a lot of young kids come to every show. And I think this year there's a lot of really great material. And there also is like a lot of great opportunity for date nights and girls nights and all that kind of stuff too. I should mention mtwichita.org, which is where you can find tickets and our single ticket. So if you're buying a ticket just to one show, those go on sale April 1st.
Perfect. This will likely be out by then, but if it somehow gets out earlier, April 1st, people. So before I kind of move on to a couple kind of questions I ask everybody, I'm going to touch on a few of the just the MTW history. And then if we miss anything that you guys want to touch on before we move on, we'll go with that. But so Music Theater Wichita was founded in 1972. It is in its 53rd year. I think you probably touched on a lot of this other stuff. But I guess one thing I do want to touch on, the funding for it. So obviously you sell tickets, like, do you get grants? How does that kind of work? Because I don't know. I don't know how well these shows sell. I don't know how that kind of stuff works. Because $5.5 million is a big budget to cover.
It is. Yeah. So about 40% right now of our budget comes from ticket sales. For a long time, we were at a 50%, which is where we'd like to get to. And that's really great in the arts. You know, there are some industries where they're looking at 25-30%. Sure. So we feel really great about that number. And then the balance, we have to find the money somewhere. So that ends up being grants, sponsorships, individual contributions. We also have an endowment, and we are able to draw on the earnings of that endowment every year. We have a rentals program where our sets, we have 2 20,000-square-foot warehouses, and we rent out sets, props, and costumes, and that creates another stream of revenue. You know, our education program at this point, it doesn't make money. We're sort of just trying to cover those expenses. But we also feel like that is investing, like, those 5-year-olds are going to subscribe one day.
For sure. Yeah. So, long game.
It's definitely a long game. But yeah, a lot of it really is dependent on different types of philanthropy, whether that's corporate or grants and foundations or individuals.
Okay. Very cool. And we don't have to go into this question. If you don't want to, you can just say skip. But what are your thoughts on kind of the new performing arts center? I know we've been promised, there's kind of been one in the works for a while. And whether that's you hate Century 2 or you want it torn down or not, you can go whichever way you want with that. But what's the need for a new performing arts center? And why is Century 2 not adequate if it's not adequate?
What I would say is, I know there's a love for that building.
Yeah.
And I have to say, because when I got started here, I was like, drive up to this building going, oh my God, I can't believe I got this job and I'm working in the building where I got, learned my, so there's a lot of affection for it for me too.
Sure.
It, and we need it right now because there is no other place for us to work. But it would be great if we were able to get a new performing arts center. We haven't heard much about it, to be quite honest.
I haven't either,
We know that there might be something in the works, but we don't know much about it. But it would be really great to have something that's state of the art where we could perform, and it would be easier access for people to get into, and it could have systems in it where the grid system works, the what's above the stage works a little bit better, and the elevators that lift the orchestra don't break every year. And so there's a lot of things that with the building now, maintenance wise, that are sometimes hard to deal with, but it's what we have right now, so we will continue to be there as long as we can. There are things about the building that for even like traveling shows, that, you know, there's the, for that basement that's downstairs, that's the way we get sets and costumes and props and stuff in, and that's the easiest way to load in sets. But because of the way the building was built and the ramp and how much it curves, trucks are much bigger now, so the big trucks can't get down there. So they have to load across the Kennedy Plaza and take it across the exhibition hall to get in. So it's tedious for those shows that come in from, you know, Hamilton, Lion King, those shows, those big shows, for them to be in the building. It doesn't stop them because right. every show in New York was in a matchbox, right? So sure. everything, those theaters in New York were small.
Yeah.
So the space, it's just the functionality of the building sometimes
yeah.
is hard.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it is an icon for the city to see on the blue roof yep. and it's a brand new blue roof.
But brand new.
But it would be lovely, lovely for us to have a noose, you know, like Omaha or any yeah. or Oklahoma City or any of those cities that are close to our size who have new performing arts centers, you know, it would bring in new venues and new shows.
Yeah.
We would be on par with getting the first national tours
sure.
and not the third national tours. Right.
That makes sense.
And yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I just add, you know, from the patron experience, like, I mean, my first experience coming into Century 2, I was like, gosh, this just, I'd worked in a lot of different spaces, and it's just not patron friendly.
Right.
I think that happens to us sometimes in Wichita. I mean, I remember when I first came here, and the first time I visited, I flew in, and it was to the old airport, mm-hmm. and I saw these things that said air capital of the world, and there was carpet on the walls of the airport. And I was like, air capital of the world? Like, this is such an old
yeah.
airport. And so, and I love our new airport. Yeah. I think it's such a great symbol of like, we're going to do things in a specific Wichita way.
Yep.
And it can also be great. And yeah. it can be state of the art and it can be functional for what we need. And I think, you know, population, like we're always going to have patrons that are in the 60s and 70s. Like we have a really broad range of ages, mm-hmm. but it is hard to park and get yeah, in that building yeah. and get it's yep. it's really challenging. It's hard to sit in the middle and what yep. a lot of people think are the best seats. And then we have a 15-minute intermission. And how do you get out
right.
and get to the restroom and get
everyone,
back?
Yeah.
Right. So just from a patron perspective and the research shows that about 50% of patrons make a decision whether to come back before a program starts. Mm. So their experience is how is the parking?
Right.
How are the ushers? How is the building? And so much of that is out of our control.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's like this building served us really well for decades. And there are just a lot of things about it that are structural that we cannot change and we right. can't influence. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So yeah, we'd love to see something new and great and beautiful.
Well, hopefully soon. I feel like everything was kind of gaining momentum mm-hmm. until COVID and then it just got derailed and I don't even know what's the plan now. So hopefully soon they make a decision on stuff. But is there anything else that we missed on that you'd want to touch on for Music Theater Wichita? Go buy tickets.
Go buy tickets.
Go buy tickets. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So just a couple more questions. I'm going to skip a few of them, but more Wichita specific questions. What is your favorite part of Wichita or what's a hidden gem in Wichita?
Oh, you know what I really love is that Great Plains Nature Center.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's moments where I'm like, I just need to get out in nature and walk around, but I don't know where to go. And it's really like 10 minutes from my house. And so I'll go and I'll just walk around and I saw deer and turtles
yeah.
and birds, and I love it. I
yeah.
think it's great.
I got engaged there, so I proposed my wife on that little like dock right there. So
that's sweet.
Yeah.
No, I do. I love that place.
Yeah, yeah,
I think that's a nice.
It's beautiful.
Engine.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna say our like new splash pads. I mean, you can
oh,
tell
yeah.
I have young kids.
Oh yeah, our kids
but
love them.
We spend
them, yeah.
so much time there, and we live in the like kind of central and Woodlawn area.
Yeah.
So over at Edgemoor, there had just been an empty pool for our whole time in
yeah.
Wichita until they built those splash pads there. And I just love how that has like invigorated the area.
Absolutely.
And it's like such a great free place for kids to play. And those are really hard to come by. So
yeah.
I think that that's just been fantastic.
No, I agree with both of those answers. Is there anything you wish Wichita had that it doesn't? Or is there something specific you would improve about Wichita?
A new performing arts center.
There we go.
That's easy.
Easy one.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I was able to participate in Leadership Wichita
yeah.
this past year, and we really delved into a lot, like the challenges that we're having, like with our unhoused population and
mm-hmm.
like of our mental health challenges and that kind of thing. So I'm really eager. I'm so excited to see that there's been a lot of movement and progress
yeah.
and attention, and I'm really eager to see where that goes. It's interesting to me because I think things are so interconnected. Like, we were able to look at one document that showed how many mental health professionals and health professionals we need in Wichita. And it was staggering. I mean, it's just hundreds and thousands. And it's like, well, we really all have to work together, and we really all have our role to play, because, you know, when you're trying to attract people to a city, you need to have great arts, you need to have great food, you need to have all these things that make people want to live here. And our community doesn't succeed if we don't have these people with these special skill sets either wanting to stay here or wanting to come here. So yeah, that's not, it's not like exactly an answer to your question, but I'm eager to watch that.
That was a great answer. All right, I got one last question. I'll kick it to Brian and then Angela. But what does Wichita mean to you?
Ooh, what does it mean to me? Oh, that's an interesting. I think it means a lot. I mean, I think because of the quality of life and this organization, I think it means a lot. I mean, I love being here, and I love being part of the community, and I love trying to make it better and offer something that, you know, the arts is like medicine, and we're able to take people away from their existence for 2 hours when they come see a show. And I love being a part of the community in that way, where we're able to entertain, but also serve them in a way that they didn't probably expect when they walked in to see a show. Mm-hmm. And so I love being that catalyst and that conduit a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, I've lived in a lot of different states and been a lot of different places. And Wichita really is a place where, like, we've sort of put down roots as a family. And I think that, you know, Music Theater Wichita, of course, was, like, rooted in this community. It was created for this community. But I see how, like, our mid and long range plans are really about how do we, like, root our organization even more deeply in our community and in ways that we, you know, in neighborhoods where we hadn't been before, and with people that maybe thought that musical theater wasn't for them, or, right, you know, maybe they would do it later. So I think for me, both personally and professionally, it just feels like a place to, like, really root, like, get put down roots.
Yeah, no, I love that. Brian, Angela, thank you guys so much. I'm really excited to check out some shows this year. Hopefully we can, bring more attention to it. I think a lot of people just don't even realize the gem we have here with Music Theater Wichita. So thank you guys for coming on. It means a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Wichita Life Podcast. Check us out on social media at Wichita Life ICT or our website, wichitalifeict.com. Huge thanks to Jake B. for editing and producing our podcast. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time.